World Pork Expo is underway at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. I'm Susan Littlefield. Excited to have Duane Stadler joining us. He is president of Ohio Pork Producer. And first of all, you and I were just chatting. For World Pork Expo to have as beautiful as weather as we have today, you got to love it.
Oh, you just got to love it. A lot of times, like I said, it's normally 80 degrees by this time. And the weather today, the boys in Iowa have done a great job on the weather, providing us great weather for this event.
How important is it for pork producers to be a part of World Pork Expo?
I think it's very important. I think that comes from the fact that you have a lot of them that always make sure they get time to get back. It's got to be something bad on the farm or something that needs perfect attention for them not to try to get here, because one of the biggest things is you take care of, yes, there's educational events, there's a trade show, there's everything that everybody needs, but a big thing of it is that networking that you get with amongst producers. When you're talking to drug companies, yeah, they've got recommendations for you and things like that. But sometimes you can find out from just other farmers something that has worked for them that hasn't worked for you, or maybe you can provide that to someone else, and that's a big benefit. That networking in our industry is really important, whether it's we're dealing with hogs, whether we're dealing with crops or whatever. That's the part that really that helps a lot.
The amount of exhibits that are here for them to check out in all the latest in technology, I mean, just like in any industry of livestock, it's forever evolving.
Yes, it's amazing the technology that we have. I mean, people might have heard about the technology that's went across the crop side of it, as far as, you know, the being able to get in the tractor and push the button and it drives it, you know, you get the perfect straight rows now.
Yep.
And stuff. That's sort of becoming commonplace. But to see the technology coming into where we're actually taking that to an individual sow, you know, on the feeder and following that sow through and making sure her diet is correct and everything. The technology is evolving into our barns just the same way as it's involved into the fields. And it's really something to behold, and it's something to try to get yourself educated on, and it's also something to try to keep up with it, because technology changes faster than what we can.
Well, that just shows the longevity of what is going to be this pork industry in the United States when producers are investing dollars, when companies are investing dollars to advance technology.
Oh yeah, that's the whole thing of it is. It's just, we're here to stay. I mean, we have to remember that pork still worldwide is the number one consumed protein. And we're not number one here in the United States, but worldwide, that's the most sought-after protein there is. So, yes, we're providing a good protein. And you know, as you look at, there's a lot of questions that get asked about the MAHA movement. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good, and there's a lot of questions in the MAHA. I mean, MAHA is definitely looking us back to where our grandparents were at, as far as providing you good protein. You know that, yes, you need to have a little bit of fat for you is good. You know, that is the good part of the MAHA. The sort of the unknown yet is, okay, it's sort of a little bit of a question. You know, we've always prided ourselves in agriculture through our relationship with universities to make sure that we have peer-reviewed research. Mm-hmm. For everything that we do. You know, testing, whether it be, you know, a herbicide or whatever it is that we use, that, you know, that we've made sure that there's no, you know, there's no residue left in anything. And sort of have that question, all the years of work and research has been done in that. That's sort of, we'll see where that comes at, and we'll know more on August the 12th. But there's a lot of good in the MAHA movement of getting good, nutritious food, especially to everybody that we can.
So as you look at everything that's happening, Duane, what is the kind of the long range strategic plan that NPPC has for this industry?
I think the long-range plan is for us to make sure that we can secure an environment to where our producers can do what they want to do, and that is raise protein, good protein for people. And whatever we have to do to protect that freedom to operate is what our number one issue is. And that, whether it's you know, to ward off of a Prop 12 or something like that, you know, that's our issue. Let's let our farmers do. People have to realize it. One thing that's a big difference that I've seen in my life is when I was born, there was 8% of us that were farmers. Now we're approaching that 1%. We're less than 2%. We're approaching that 1%. And when I have the opportunity to talk to people that are not from the farm, or I get the opportunity to talk to someone, I like to start out with, I ask, how many generations are you out here removed from the farm? You know, and I'm finding a lot of 3, 4, and 5. They don't understand that people in agriculture work with what they do every day. We work mm-hmm. with the animals. We know what's the reasons we've moved them inside from being outside on a feedlot. In a lot of cases, we don't have to worm anymore. You know, just like you worm your pets monthly, we don't do that anymore. We've removed that out of it. The reason we've removed it, because it was a cost. We've run on such a thin margin anymore that you've got to really protect that health of your animals. So with, have a little faith in the people that work with these animals every day, and know, because everything we do is to make it for the betterment of that. And that's one thing that they sort of forget.
You talked to me, you brought up Prop 12, and then that's kind of been a negative thorn, shall we say, in not just the pork industry, but just livestock in general, because everybody wonders when that next shoe is going to drop. But then you hear from Californians and say, hey, this isn't good for us because our prices of meat has gone up drastically. You know, we're literally driving across state lines to bring pork in to California.
Yeah, the black market pork is very real out there.
And who would have ever thought we'd be talking about black market pork in the United States?
Yes, but yes, because they've seen, depending on what cuts, they've seen an average of 20 to 40% increase in their costs. Mm-hmm. And some people think, well, why would it be that much different? Well, now you have retailers across the United States that are getting product from packers that are having to stop lines and bring just in to run this so that you don't mix it. And now you have regional warehouses that have twice as many spaces required because yep. you have to have the pork chop that is not Prop 12. You have to have the pork chop that's pork part or Prop 12. And then you have to have the pork chop that's ready for Q3. You know, so now you've just added, and every little disruption just raised the cost, and it's just going to raise the cost to the consumer. It's not raising my cost to produce it. Well, it is if I went to a Prop 12, but I was expecting to get paid more for that. And that's everybody's right. If a state wants to, you know, have this requirement, let the market determine that to get in it. But don't force that requirement on a farmer that he has to raise that in order to be able to sell his product. That's a little bit of discrepancy. I think the Supreme Court was probably right. I think this needs to be legislative fix. That's why we look for the legislative fix in the farm bill, but it can't be part of the reconciliation bill because it doesn't involve money. It's not going to cost a fix for this isn't going to cost the government or taxpayers a dime. It's the legislative part that we've got to get done because, yes, other parts of industry are worried. This could come after GMO. This could come after anything. And mm-hmm. So it's a concern for us going forward.
Farm bill? Is it going to get, or are we going to have to see another extension? What are you guys hearing? I know the work is happening in Washington, D.C. to get this move forward, but.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious you can't even see that between those on Capitol Hill. You see the G.T. Thompson from the House, you know, he thought, boy, we've got to get whatever we can get that can do, you know, on the finance part because there might not be a farm bill. And then on the Senate side, you've got Senator Bozeman that says, I don't really want to put all this stuff in because that means we won't be able to pass a skinny farm bill if we take, you know, if we just take Title I and Title 11, you know, if we take other things besides just those two titles, we'll never get to that point. And it's a frustration. And they're wanting to get aid to, you know, to Americans farmers. But aid to American farmers and what rural America needs is more than just dollars and cents. It needs the whole farm mm-hmm. bill put together. And that's what we're driving for. Whether it happens this year, they're talking publicly like it is. There's a lot of work to be done. I mean, we were afraid of this when we came to the end of last year because when you start a new administration, I don't care what administration, when a new administration starts up, you've got the Secretary of Agriculture that's got three or four deputies waiting to be voted on mm-hmm. yet in Senate. And that has just been put off because someone is not liking what, you know, the president did on one thing, so they're not voting on things now for a while. So that's just delaying things for everything in agriculture. So that's where we're at that, you know, okay, how long are we going to delay? Are we going to be on Christmas Eve and trying to push something through, you know, a final bill before the end of the year to get something done? I don't see a farm bill being done before September 30th. I see an extension there, and then we'll have to see what comes before the end of the year. I just don't see the hours for them to get through the rest of this because Since it didn't get done in the last Congress, of course, we started a new two-year Congress, which means they had to go back to square one to start. Now, they had a base, and it's amazing that they've gotten done so far what they've got done, but normally it takes a year to 18 months to put a farm bill together. And to try to do that in 12 months, and we're halfway through the year, and you don't even have deputies put in the USDA yet, it's going to be a struggle. But we'll see. We're going to push for us, and I know that all the rest of the people in the barnyard are going to be pushing to try to get something done on a farm bill.
Well, Dwayne, as we wrap up our conversation from World Pork Expo, what drives you to be a part of this industry?
I think what drives me is what drives a lot of people that get into this is be able to preserve for the next generation to go on. We saw what has happened with Prop 12. We had, in Ohio, we were one of the first ones to, you know, see some of that early in the 2000s. And it all of a sudden took a new twist that for agriculture, you know, to preserve the freedom to operate. And I think that goes back to some of my earlier conversation with so many people getting so far removed, you know, from agriculture. They don't know what it's like and what it is that we do. And there's so few of us and we're so involved with what we do, we don't have time to be showing everybody, you know, what we do. So we've got to try to figure out some way to get that gap. But the reason why I'm here is to be able so that grandson, that 16 and 14-year-old grandson that really sort of wants to come back to the farm, that they have that opportunity to come back.
So well put. Thanks so much, Dwayne, for talking to us today.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Susan.
We're at World Pork Expo. I'm Susan Littlefield with the American Ag Network.